I tell you, those shirts are pretty cool. We know Ryan was the one that put those together, too. Pastor Ryan, right? He thought of it. Thank God for our wives. Amen. Awesome. Well, good morning. And Dad's happy Father's Day. What a fun day to celebrate Dad's and honor you today. And we just have a great service this morning. And so we're going to have some fun. You get to hear from a few dads this morning. And myself, I'm also a dad, times at least four, and they're great. I'll show you in a little bit how I was greeted this morning. But, you know, dads, I just want you to get everything you can out of today. You know what I'm saying? Because this is the one day a year where you literally could almost get away with anything. You know what I'm saying? You could, you know, be waited on. You don't have to do the dishes after your, you know, after dinner. You're going to get cool gifts. So if you have something that you need to, you know, confess to your wife, today's a good day to do it. Because it's Father's Day. And we want to celebrate you this morning. And so in the name of getting away with things that you normally couldn't get away with, I want to show you a video of my amazing, incredible, beautiful, beautiful wife who wished me, as I was finishing my PowerPoint this morning, I was away from the house, video Father's Day. And so I just want you to just to see what I was basked with this morning as she wished me a happy Father's Day. We might even watch it twice. Go ahead.
Father's Day. I love you so much. And so does this special boy. Just wanted to wish you a happy Father's Day. I love you so much. And so does this special boy.
Awesome. He is, come on, give it up for my wife and my special son this morning, special in more ways than one. And God bless technology, huh? And all the fun things you could do with technology. I will never do that again, except for maybe next Father's Day we'll do another thing. But that's how I got greeted this morning, and I had to share it because I watched it like 20 times, and each time I laughed louder and louder, and the people in Starbucks looked at me like I was special, and I was. So dads, and did I say my wife was beautiful? Right? I gotta work it up. What's the worst she could do? It's Father's Day, right? But how fun. So, dads, we honor you this morning. We're going to have fun just honoring dads. And I have been so impacted by my own father who's here this morning, and my father-in-law and many other fathers in my life who've truly, you know, made me who I am today. And I know each of us have those stories this morning. And so we just, we honor dads this morning. I also today want to give a shout out to all the single moms, because many single moms are doing the very best they can to fulfill both aspects of the parent. And so we honor dads this morning, but we honor our single moms and the ones who don't get a break, who are wearing the hats, and then some, who are providing, who are nurturing, who are cooking and doing the dishes and doing an awesome rock star job. And so moms, single moms, we love you this morning, and we honor you today. So this morning, as we get going, I want you to be encouraged, dads. I think so many times, you know, on Father's Day, we can give a challenging message, and it's kind of like, can I ever just be enough? And I just want to encourage dads this morning to say, you're enough, right? You're more than enough this morning. And so we want to honor you and encourage you I also this morning, I want to encourage our young people this morning who maybe aren't fathers and you're thinking, what does this have to do with me? I want to encourage you to allow the Lord this morning to shape what he wants to shape in you to prepare you to be a father. And I believe there's even some spiritual dynamics that God wants to work in you at 15, at 14, at 20 years old that is going to prepare you to be the best dad in the future that you can be. And I think we got to recognize on days like today, as Pastor Ryan said, that today is a great day to celebrate, but today brings up a lot of pain in people's hearts because of the experience that you maybe had growing up. I mean, I know people this morning that won't come to church on Father's Day because it's just too difficult. And I think we need to recognize this morning that the Lord wants to heal some hearts. We need to recognize this morning that the Lord wants to transform our life, like Pastor Ryan said, to make us more like him and to heal some of those areas where we are pained and we have experienced negative things. And so I just want to encourage our young adults and youth this morning to allow the Lord to open your heart and do the work in your heart this morning that he wants to do. I don't know how long I'm going to preach. I've got some notes and stuff, but I really am excited to hear from some other fathers this morning that have are no different than you, no different than me, and they're going to share what God's done in them through fathering. And so I'm going to invite Pastor Paul Kless up, a grandfather of the faith this morning. There he is. So would you welcome Pastor Paul as he comes this morning?
Thank you. Hey, happy Father's Day, guys. So, I kind of learned some of it the hard way, three rules of fathering. I struggled. I didn't have Pastor Ryan to tell me that God was going to be my example. I didn't have that cool song, You're a Good, Good Father. And I struggled with, I didn't really have an example. But God told me and showed me and other people before even Pastor Ryan that he was my example. And he still is, because I'm still learning. I'm not done. And I've got grandkids that are out of college, and I've got little grandchildren, and I've got a little grandchild, and I've got children that are almost 50 now. We were 12 when we got married. But I realize that there still are kids, even when they're in their 40s and 50s. They have the same kind of needs that we have from our Heavenly Father. Okay? Matthew 28:20 says, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Romans 8:35 says, who will separate us from the love of God or the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? There's another verse or another translation that says, even the depths of hell can't separate us from the love of God. Okay? Nothing can separate us. Rule number three, I'm going backwards, but I'm still learning this one, is that our kids need to know we're there. I don't care if they're little, if they're teenagers, if they're adult children. And no, that's not an oxymoron. I have adult children. They're always my babies. I call my 25-year-old granddaughter my grandbaby. She's always going to be my baby. Okay? Sometimes they think and act like they don't need us or even don't want us around, especially you know, around 11 to 14, 15. But all of a sudden, a switch will change, and they need to know we're there for them. And it still happens in their 40s. It still happens in their 20s and 30s. They need to know we're there for them. Our Father's there always. You know, what is it? You know, wow, my notes just flipped all the way to the end. Okay. Think about it and your own relationship with God, and I think you can be a better son or a better daughter if you do that. How do I feel when my children or my grandchildren don't seem to know I exist? Father, forgive me. Because sometimes I do forget you're there. How do I feel when they think they know it all? Father, forgive me again. Because I do that. We all do that. Just this morning, one of my grandchildren I had to say no to in a forceful manner. I won't name her. She says, "You're mean." Sometimes we do that to God. He says no, and he says no for a really good reason. And we tend to, "You're mean, God. I want this, I want that, and I want it now." And he says, "No, later is better." So, what is it as a father that I most desire for my kids or grandkids? It's a thankful heart. It's thankfulness. Father, forgive me again for not being as thankful as I need to be. Okay, my first rule of fathering, and it kind of takes me back to what I just got done saying. My first rule, that was rule 3 I talked about before. My first rule is, when stuff doesn't go the way you think it should with your kids, check your own tracks. See how you're walking. You know, and this rule 3 is kind of an extension of that. It is. I'm still learning. I mean, God's just been speaking to me just even this morning about this whole thing. And then my second rule was, husbands, listen to your wives. They're gonna be the sensitive ones. They're gonna be the ones that are really tuned in to the needs of your kids. Again, you don't know it all. Together, you know, God puts you together as a team. And so, those are my 3 rules. Check your own tracks. Listen to the sensitive hearts of your wives. And think about your relationship with God and how comforting it is to know that he is there always, even when you don't feel like it. Thank you, Lord, for being so faithful to us. That's it.
So good. Awesome. Thank you, Pastor Paul. You know, in our language, you know, we refer to dads usually as like dad or father. All right? And I think anyone can call themselves a father. If you're a male and you have children, well, you're a father. But I think when we are talking about being a father, it's different than just having kids, right? It's not just, oh, I have kids. It's, do you embody the full meaning of the definition? You know, and if we look at scripture, especially like in 1 Corinthians 4, 14 through 17, you know, Apostle Paul is talking to the Corinthian church, and he's talking about the difference between a teacher and a father. And I think it's important this morning that we recognize that we're called to be more than just teachers. right? But we're called to embody the full meaning of what fatherhood means. So read with me. It says, I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides, some translations say, though you have many teachers, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then to imitate me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. So dads, this morning, I want to encourage you this morning to be more than teachers, but to embody what does it mean to be a father. You know, Apostle Paul saying, hey, you have lots of people that can preach. You have lots of people that can teach. You have lots of people that can even be a leader to you. Right? There's plenty of examples of what to do. Hey, you can have a job. You can work hard. You could even lead people. But do you embody what it means to be a father? And this morning, the Lord wants to grow each and every one of us to be more like Him when it comes to being a father. And if you caught this, I've read this scripture many times, and I love the answer that the Apostle Paul gives to the church. He could have gone to his church that was dysfunctional, right? If you read, right, it gives me hope for the New Testament church because they had their dysfunction back in the day. He could have gone to the Corinthian church, and he could have gone as a father himself, and he could have set all the fathers straight, couldn't he have? Well, I'm just going to go, if you can't get done something done right, go do it yourself. So I'm going to go to the church and set all those dads in order. But what does he do? He sends a son. He sent his son Timothy to what? To model, to show them what it means to follow Christ. And I thought, what a dad goal. You know what? I don't need to go myself, but I'm going to show you what it means to follow Christ because you're going to look at my son and you're going to look at my daughter. I think what a powerful revelation for us. A son who's been fathered. A son who has the fruit in his life show. That's what the New Testament church looked at. I want to be a church that can say, you want to see what it's like to be a father? You can just look at our sons and our daughters because they know what it means to be fathered. They know what it means to respond to the call of God on their life. I love that revelation. Right? I think that's something for each of us dads that we can say, man, I want my kids to be the ones that can show people what it means to have a relationship with Father God. I want to invite this morning, and I'm going to get into some of the message. I want to invite a good friend of mine this morning and a father of this house, and he's going to come share with us. So welcome Steve Hardebeck with me this morning.
Come on, buddy. Good morning. Happy Father's Day. Well, I was going to acknowledge my father, and I still will, but he's not feeling good, so he's not here. But for me, my dad is my hero. You know, it's like Pastor Paul said, we don't agree on everything, but man, I'm telling you, I got more respect for that guy than I have for anybody else in this world. He's a very hard worker. You know, I think one of the best qualities about my dad is that he is the same here. He is the same at home as he is here. So what you guys see in front, he is the exact same way at home. And I think for me as his son, that's one of the best qualities that I admire about my dad. So, Dad, I love you. But then also I'd like to acknowledge my father-in-law, Larry, who I've had the opportunities and ever since marrying into his family, getting to know. And Larry is also one of the hardest workers that I know. And he will do anything for his family. He goes out of the way. He provides. He supports. He loves. I've never their example as a couple of unconditional love for their kids and other people, and just their heart for people, even in the church and those lost. It's absolutely incredible. And so, Larry, I acknowledge you today, and I love you. You're an amazing. I'm just blessed to be a part of your family. You kind of wonder what kind of family you're going to marry into. You kind of have an idea before you get married, but then when you get married, you actually know what type of family you're getting into. So you kind of figure out as you go, but I was definitely one of the blessed ones to, for sure. So love you guys. But today, just something that I felt like the Lord put on my heart for all of us fathers. So what is a father? A father is a giver. He's a worker. He's a hero. He's a shoulder to cry on. He's strength. He's a protector. He's a listener. He loves. He teaches. He's a leader. He's patient. He's strict. He's kind. And there's many, many more characteristics of a father that we could answer the question. This is a list of what others say about fathers, but today I want to ask this question to you, fathers. Who are you? Are you one, two, maybe you're five, maybe you're that whole list. Maybe you hear this list and you think of your failures as a father, or you say, I'm not those, or I wish I had these qualities about myself. Whatever side of the spectrum that you're on, I believe the one of the only ways that you will ever find complete and fulfilling happiness is knowing who your father is. He is the protector, the giver, the hero, the listener, the forgiver. He's the example of what a father is. He's the father that you've never had before. He is the great I am. He's everything as a father that you need. Fathers, when you press in to knowing who he is, you will know who you are. God made some that are small. He made some tall, some weak, some strong, some loud, some quiet, some better at listening, some better at talking. Some run businesses, some are worker bees. Some like the outdoors, some like computers. Some like the arts, some like sports. Some are sensitive, some are more direct. All I can say today is that God made you you, so be you. Be who God called you to be, not who somebody else is. That's the best father. You're the best at you. God made you just the way you are. And when you know who your father is, your family will benefit far more than if you're striving to be somebody that you want to be. I, by all means, know that we are not and won't be perfect. And why do I know that? It's because Scripture tells us. Scripture says we all fall short. But knowing the Father is knowing that if you fail, you can get back up because he's the one who died for you on the cross. But he's the one who also got back up by rising from the grave. You are not meant, fathers, to stay in the grave. And what do I mean by that? You are not meant to let your past define your future. The failures, the shortcomings, I love Jesus with all my heart, but I can't tell you how many times being a father I fall short for my kids. When I just like, I'll go to sleep at night and I'll be laying in bed and I said, babe, like honestly, I am not a guy who gets upset easily, but dear Lord, like geez Louise, God, I mean, you know, somebody was here recently speaking or somebody online I listened to and they were talking about how, you know, you don't know what's really inside of you until it comes out. And I'm like, are you saying that I'm this angry of a dude? You know, it's one of those things. But you're not meant to stay in the grave. You're not meant to live in the lies of you're not good enough to be a dad. Yeah. You've never had a good example, therefore I can't be a good dad. That's just a lie from the pit of hell. I will never change. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That is just, it's just complete falsehood. If you know who your father is, you will understand that that is a falsehood. How about this one? My family can't be fixed. Just pure lie. You were meant for life and life full of abundance, fathers. The same resurrected life your father gave you is inside of you. Jesus rose from the grave. He did it all for you. In your weaknesses, he is made strong. Your heavenly father is everything you are and especially everything that you're not. He has got the answers that you are looking for. Search for him with all your heart, and you will find him. He's there to help you. He's there to be there for you. But I can't stress enough, fathers, that unless we acknowledge that we are in need of a Savior, of a Father, that we won't be the Father who God called us to be. You got to understand who you are. You've got to go into the Bible. You've got to go, or I should say, we've got to go into the Bible. We have got to get in prayer time. We've got to understand that God is a good God. He is not going to leave you hanging. He is not going to leave you as a father hanging, saying, well, you know, you had quite the upbringing, so I guess I can't really help you out. That's not what he is a good, good, good God. That song, I was just great. Good Father, it's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who I am. Like, when you sing that, your father, it's who you as a father are. When your identity is found in Jesus, your identity will be found in your family. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Good. Awesome. Awesome. So good. Steve said a lot. Awesome. He said this. And it comes to the first thing I really want to talk about is more than teachers, fathers, number one, be whole. Okay, we know the scripture in Malachi 4. It says, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a curse, with a decree of utter destruction. Okay, we know the scripture. We talk about this scripture. And it's important this morning, fathers, that your heart is turned to your sons and daughters. And I believe that as you do that, their hearts are going to turn back to you. But this morning, I want to make my point on what the scripture doesn't say. You know, because it says a lot. But I want to talk about what it doesn't say. Because I think in order, fathers, for our hearts to be turned to our children, we need to be whole in what Steve said, that our hearts have to be whole before our Father God, first and foremost. Because inside and outside of the church, I think we've seen it too many times where we see fathers that aren't fully healed, fathers that are still wounded, still disappointed, never fully whole. And they're doing everything they can in their own strength and their own grit to be a hard worker, to be the best dad they can be. And I think a lot of times, instead of being what God's called them to be, they're trying to be someone. They're trying to be the opposite of the someone that raised them. Instead of being who God called them to be, they're trying not to be like their own father. The greatest gift, dads, that you can give to your kids today is a whole, healed heart before Abba, Father. That is the greatest thing you can do. You want to be a great father? Then have a healed heart. Then allow Abba, Father, to completely heal those wounds in your own life. To walk holy before Him. Dads, be more than a teacher. Be whole this morning. If you have those wounds, then experience the healer of Jesus. Second thing I want to encourage us with is be a learning father, not a perfect father. Be a learning father, not a perfect father. Okay, we all this morning have heard the story and we've said, oh, he's the way he is because his dad was a bad father to him, as Steve said. Right? Oh, you know, he's a nice guy. He's just a little, you know, he was just, you know, his dad just treated him really bad, and that's how he is. I'm sure this morning we all could swap stories of how we were mistreated by our fathers. I'm sure this morning that we can all swap stories of how great our father was. But I think it's important this morning that we realize that none of us grew up with a perfect father. Unfortunately, some fathers did a lot more damage than others, and I'm sorry for that. But I think a lot of times it's those fears of what we don't want to become. I think a lot of times fear robs us from learning what it means to be a good father. You know, fear of messing up. As Steve said, fear of being a bad dad. How about fear of being a poor example of a father like the father you had? Come on, think about these things. And I know they're deep heart things this morning, but I think a lot of times as a father, it's the fear that keeps us from really giving our whole heart to our children. You know, being a parent is really a crazy thing if you think about it. Anyone whose plumbing works correctly can become a parent. Okay, you can be a dad. You don't have to pass a responsibility test to become a dad. You can have a complete mess of a life and you can still father a child. And it's really crazy that you can drive home from the hospital, have no clue how to change a diaper, have no clue how to use one of those suction cuppy things that can keep your kid from choking when they're young. And they will send you home with a baby and say, figure it out. Right? There's a lot wrong with that picture. But what do in the natural? You learn. My first diaper I put on was backwards, people. 10 years ago. What do? You take a picture. You laugh. You take it off and you put it on the right way. But I want to encourage this morning to not stop becoming a learning father. Just like the diaper story, just like not knowing how to parent, how to take care of a baby, we got to trust that the good father is going to teach us what it means to become a good father. And not allow those fears of our experiences to keep us from those things. Because you're not going to be a perfect father. Can I just free us from that this morning? You're not going to be a perfect father. But become a learning father. Dads, you want to be more than a teacher, then I want to encourage you with this. To pour out your life, not just information. Right? Pour out your life, not just information. Because again, there's plenty of people that have knowledge, life experience, know the word, can tell you what to do and what not to do. But I believe that a father's primary role of teaching is through, follow me as I follow Christ. Watch me as I do my best before Abba Father. Okay, you look at Apostle Paul in the New Testament. Okay, scriptures like 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 11. Okay, I think one of the biggest lies is the whole saying, what is it? Do as I say, not as I do. What a bunch of nonsense. Right? Don't father that way, dads. Just like Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy, you, however, have followed my teaching, have followed my conduct, my aim in my life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me, those persecutions I endured. Yet from all of them, the Lord rescued me. So pretty much, Apostle Paul saying, hey, you've seen how I live my life. And you've seen that I've gotten through those things. He opened his life and said, hey, don't listen just to what I'm saying. Look at my life. Look at the fruit of my life. You know, we can, I think a lot of times as a pastor and as a parent, I think about all those great lessons the church is going to remember. Or all those great lessons that my kids are going to remember when I teach them about things. 2 minutes later, the church or my kids, they'll forget what I said. But they won't forget how I lived. Okay, the third thing in opening up your life, I love this because it's challenging for me, and it's in 2 Corinthians 12. And it says this, this is Apostle Paul speaking. It says, I will most gladly spend for you and be spent for your souls. I think sometimes, especially fathers, we think, hey, as long as I hold a good job, as long as I keep a roof over my kids' heads, as long as they never go without a meal, I'm doing my job. And I encourage you, dads, and I applaud you for keeping a roof over your heads. I'm doing the same thing by the grace of God. But I think a lot of times we say, hey, I'm meeting all these basic needs, so I'm a good father. And I want to encourage you, as Apostle Paul said, yes, spend, cover, but be spent for your children's souls. Meaning, open up your life. Open up your history. Open up your experiences. Don't just spend financially and, oh, I'm doing it. I'm a good father. No, open up your heart. You know, I think we need to be wise in our vulnerability with our children. But I want my kids to know that I do have struggles, that I'm not perfect, that I do have weaknesses, that I can model with them as I walk through life how to work through those things, not just avoid those things. Amen? So, dads, open up your life. Open up what's inside of you to your kids, not just your pocketbook. If I could challenge you with that this morning, I want to encourage us in closing today to connect to your kids' hearts, not just their minds. Think about it. Teachers love to connect intellectually with their students. We agree on history. We agree on social issues, different things like that. But as fathers, I want to encourage you to connect to their hearts. Because connecting to the mind alone won't be enough. But to connect to their hearts. I want to encourage you, dads, to have strategies that will engage long-term investment into the hearts of your children. And I said strategy because you've got to figure out, God, how do I do that? I think about what is a heart-to-heart connection. Well, we know when we talk about the heart, it's talking about your mind. It's talking about your will. It's talking about emotions. Dads, I want to encourage you to get to the mind, to the will, and to the emotions of your children. To not just connect to one out of the three, but to truly penetrate into all those areas of their life. Because as you connect on the heart level, they're going to bear much fruit. They're going to change. They're going to transform into the person that God's called them to be. You're more than a teacher, dads. Along with that point, I wrote down that fathers be motivated by personal transformation, not just illumination. Think about it. Not just, oh, the light bulb went on. No. Be motivated by personal transformation in their life. Not just the fact that the light bulb went on. Not just the illumination of it. Dads, draw the fruit out of your children's lives. Speak the fruit into their life. Speak it into existence. Challenge them in it. Call it forth. The last thing I want to talk about this morning is fathers, seek opportunities to release your sons and your daughters. What does a good teacher do? Well, he teaches, of course. And it's all about his teaching, and it's all about his ministry, and it's all about the things that he knows in his heart and he knows in his head. And I want to encourage you, dads, to give opportunities to release your sons and daughters, meaning allow them to grow in their maturity. But that's not being a good teacher, because the teacher's got to share. But a father releases. A father says, hey, my sons and my daughters might fail. My sons and my daughters might not do it the way I did it. But fathers need to be okay with that. And fathers need to be okay and be ready to teach them, to walk with them, to correct them, to pick them up and say, but we're going to do it again. We're going to release you again. Fathers gauge their level of success by how far their children go, not by how many books they write or how many sermons they can preach. But fathers gauge the impact of their life with how far their sons and daughters go. Dads, I want to encourage you to release your sons and daughters into the areas that God has for them. Obviously, yes, we're going to use wisdom. Yes, we're going to walk with them. But I want our sons and daughters to be released into what God has for them. God's called us fathers to be more than teachers, to be more than just mere providers, to not allow fears of what could be to dictate what God wants us to be in our life, in our fathering. Would you stand with me? I want to pray for our dads this morning. Because I believe you've gotten encouragement, you've gotten the word, you've heard from some fathers this morning. But I believe that the Lord wants to do something supernatural in your heart this morning. I think as Steve shared and as Pastor Paul shared and Dad said, man, I'm still wounded myself. I believe that God wants to heal you this morning. So can we just open our hearts to what the Lord wants to do? And Father, all over this place, I thank you for fathers. I thank you for every dad that's in this room today. God, that you've called us all to be more than just teachers of our sons and our daughters. Father, we recognize this morning that no one grew up with a perfect father example in the natural. We recognize that there was woundings, that there is woundings. We recognize that there's still healing that needs to be done. And Father, I thank you that you are our healer. God, I even ask right now for those fathers that need a touch of your healing power in their life, where they are still fathering with their children out of woundedness. Father, even right now, I ask that you would heal fathers' hearts. Father, I ask that their heart, like Steve said, would truly be turned to a good, good father. Father, I pray that we, as we walk, Father, that we would truly open up our lives to our sons and our daughters and open up our lives to one another as men and as fathers. Father, even where there's fear this morning, fear of failing, fear of not being good enough, fear of disappointing our kids, God, I ask that you would just shine your Holy Spirit into our lives today. Father, that we wouldn't operate out of fear. But Father, we would operate out of faith, and we would operate out of a mindset and a vision that you've called us to walk in. Father, all over this place, I bless our dads today. Father, that you would continue to equip them in their fathering, that you would continue to equip them with strategy for their sons and their daughters today. Father, I even bless today the single moms. Father, I ask that you give them more than enough grace. Grace and then some more to do what you've called them to do. We honor you today. We thank you for this day of celebration and this day of really walking as men in what you've called us to walk in. We bless you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen, amen, dads. Amen. Amen. Come on, that was awesome. Thank you, dads, for sharing, Paul and Steve. Yeah, give them a hand. That's good. Here's what we're going to do. As we go this morning, we have a gift for all our dads. So we got some dad's root beer. We love you. So dads, make sure to grab one. I think they're twist top. If not, don't use your teeth. But God bless you. Happy Dad's Day. You're released.